But go ahead and grab out your Bible and something on which to take some notes. If you got a fancy notebook, if somebody on your aisle got a fancy notebook and you didn't get one, give them a nasty look right now. Come on, somebody, just give them. If somebody next to you took two notebooks, you are allowed to steal one at this moment. I think that's out of the Sermon on the Mount, somewhere in there about if you have two notebooks, give one to your neighbor. But take out one to take some notes today. It is the brand new year, so I hope you are excited about 2025 going into it. I saw a comic where there was a group of people, and they're like slowly trying to open a door with a broom, and they're all hiding behind the corner, and the door is labeled 2025, and so I thought that was kind of funny. And if you are apprehensive, I hope I can kind of allay some fears today. We can get a little bit of peace about the new year. But if you are looking forward to it, hopefully you're looking into some momentum. You've set some goals for this year. They didn't happen in 2024 or January. You had some goals. They went out the window like the second week of January. But this year, this is the year, right? So hopefully you are, though, looking with a little bit of hope into this new year. You're looking with a little bit of, I don't know, a little bit of added some joy about the goals that you've set. You're looking at some things that God's going to do in your life, some spiritual goals, maybe some physical goals, some things that you've set for your life. And so I want to just come alongside and maybe give you a little momentum this morning. We talked about faith to end the year last year. And so today we're going to talk about focus, because I think it's important for us here at the beginning of 2025 to set some things in focus. Because if we just start out in eight different directions, we probably will accomplish none of them. But I'll talk to you a little bit about that in just a moment, because here's what I've learned. And I say it every year, that 2025 will be the best year of your life if it's the best year of your life spiritually. If 2025, if you prioritize some spiritual things, if you make sure that you're as close to God as you've ever been before, this will be the best year of your life. If you make sure that you put some things in place, some spiritual disciplines, some things that maybe were lacking in 2024, but you get as close to God as possible, this is the year, man. You say, okay, I'm letting all these other things fall away, but I'm going to prioritize the spiritual. It will be the best year of your life, if it's the best year of your life spiritually. And so we want to come alongside of you and give you a little momentum to make that happen. And so in January, we have what we call the 21 days of prayer and fasting. Now, August is prayer and feasting. We all live for August. But 21 days in January is prayer and fasting. And so I'm going to give you, I'll talk to you in just a moment about what that means and what that looks like, because I want to set you off on the right foot. But if you are visiting with our church and you are like, this is your first Sunday, and you're like, this is ridiculous. I finally show up to church and these crazy cult people aren't going to eat for 21 days. I'm out. I'm not in this. Just take a breath for a moment. I promise I'll explain it. It is an incredible discipline for your life. I promise it will be a blessing for you. But let me just kind of dispel a couple of things on it, because you are on a journey wherever you are in your spiritual walk. So you are on this journey somehow. We talk about victory all the time, about being a place that helps you go from where you are to where God wants you to be. And so if we're going to do that, if we're going to progress in our spiritual journey, there are seasons of prayer and fasting. There are seasons that we need to go into, especially about fasting, that will become an incredible discipline for our life. But then if we can flip the words, it'll help us to discipline our life. Because if you're like me, you go through seasons, and all throughout the year this happens, but especially around the holidays this seems to happen, that we all get into this. We go through seasons of unrestraint, where we just kind of let ourselves go. And you know this in the physical. Like, forget the spiritual for a moment. You understand this. Like, around the holidays, we just seem to, like, lose all restraint. We're all been spending a couple of weeks, some wonderful time with family, some wonderful time with the pie and the cake and the food. We've all done it. We've all been spending money we don't have on things we don't need. It's just how the year always ends. And so sometime in January, we kind of wake up and realize, like, something has to change, or I'm going to kick the bucket by February. Like, something has to turn. Like, this thing has to, something has to change about our lives. And so we make all of the resolutions to change, to bring our body back into discipline. Well, the same thing is true for our spiritual lives. That we go through seasons oftentimes where maybe we stray a little bit, or we kind of give a little bit of unrestraint, not even sin. We just kind of get a little loose in our disciplines. And we have to have seasons that bring us back to this disciplined life that we're trying to lead. I'll show it to you in 1 Thessalonians. Watch this. It's a journey that lasts a lifetime, by the way. And so it says in 1 Thessalonians, may God himself, because he's the only one who could, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. So listen, salvation is what happens when we give our lives to Jesus. It's instantaneous. Salvation is our eternity secure in heaven. It's when we believe that Jesus died on the cross, that he rose again, that he is the Lord of our lives. Salvation happens in a moment. It's nothing we can earn. Bible says it's by grace alone. But then this other part of the Christian journey is called sanctification. That's the word none of us like. We like salvation. We're not so keen on sanctification. Sanctification is then being worked out in our Christian life as we follow Christ. And so it says God is at work inside of us. He's at work to purify, to sanctify. It's God working out in our lives what he's already worked into our hearts. Salvation in a moment. Your eternity secure in heaven, cannot work for it. Sanctification is a whole lot more painful and takes a whole lot longer. And it will be the rest of your life. God is working out within us, purifying us, making us more like Christ. Watch this. Sanctifying you, that your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. So this verse kind of gives us some insight into the areas of our lives that need to grow. The areas of us that God is purifying. So jot it down in your fancy new notebook if you manage to get it. Take notes. You are a spirit, you have a soul, and you live in a body. So this verse is giving us some insight on what God is purifying, what he's at work inside of. But if we could kind of get this picture of our lives, that you are a spirit, that's the part of you that's going to exist forever in heaven. That's the part of you that connects directly with God. But then you also have a soul. That's your mind, your will, and your emotions. That's the soul part of you. And then you live in a body. And the body, of course, is the part of us that we make all the resolutions about. This is the part that wants to eat a little bit less or eat a little bit more or sleep a little bit less or sleep a little bit more. Or whatever it is, we make the resolutions about the body. We all have goals. And so the thing you need to know is in every person's life, your soul and your body are at war trying to control your life. And the Bible is very clear. If any part of you other than your spirit is in control, your entire life will be out of balance, out of whack. If you let the soul run your life, you will be full of anxiety or fear or anger or jealousy. The emotions will rise up inside of you. You let your soul run your life, and your emotions will always lie to you about your life. And so if you let them run, you will find yourself swinging on the pendulum of life. It's like a roller coaster every day. If you let your soul control, if you let your body control your life, then your life is full of your debauchery and listen, if you let your body control your life, you will sleep 24/7. You will do what feels good in all areas. You will backstab people if it helps you. You will let your body take control and your life will take the roller coaster straight down. If your body is what controls your life, lazy, undisciplined, you'll be out of control. But the Bible's very clear. The part that should be in control is this spirit man, this part that God is at work in, this part that will last forever anyway. And so when we let our soul and our body in seasons, we let them take control. We get to days like today and we realize, okay, something is out of whack. Something is not in balance. And so the only way to live at our highest potential is for the spirit to be in control. And so what happens in seasons like the holidays, or honestly, any seasons of like adversity or hardship, oftentimes we will default in letting one of these other areas take control. When you face something that's difficult and you want to kind of retreat from it mentally, you will let the soul kind of take over and let emotions just run the life how they want to. When you go through seasons that are incredibly taxing on your body, or you go through seasons that you don't even recognize, it's like physical exertions are having a mental toll. You know what I'm talking about? You go through those things. Oftentimes you let the body take over because it knows how to protect itself and sleep 7 days in a row. And it knows how to withdraw from different, it knows how to make you feel good while the world is burning around you. And so too oftentimes we'll let these categories take over. And we let them take control. And so we get here after a holiday, we get to January, we're like, man, I got to get back on track. I got to get some discipline in my life. Well, fasting and prayer is the easiest, fastest, most efficient way I know of to get your life back on track, to get these disciplines back on. It's the easiest way because fasting disconnects us from the soul and the body. Fasting is the best way that you could possibly find to tell the soul and the body you are no longer in control. Because you know what happens during a fast? Your soul and your body begin to cry out tremendously. They begin to say, I want a Dorito. And you have to say, you can't have a Dorito. Come on, somebody. The way you discipline your soul and your body is by fasting. But then that's one half of the puzzle. And then prayer, we silence the world. We silence our soul and our body. But then prayer connects us to God. Because remember, the spirit has to be in control. So we begin to feed the spirit man at the same time. We fast and we pray. And this is one of the times we do it all together as a church. But I encourage you all throughout the year, you can call your own fast. You understand that? Like you can say, hey, I'm getting a little bit out of line. I think I need a season of fasting and prayer. I think the body is crying out a little too much. I think the soul is in the driver's seat a little too often. I want to call a fast and pray. Begin to get your life back into alignment. So we're going to fast because that's what gets the body and the soul. But then not just fast, we're also going to pray. And so this is our 21 days that we do it in January. So let me just kind of line it up for you. 21 days, this first week, this begins the fast. You begin to choose what it is. And I'll talk about that in just a moment, what it is you're going to fast. But then we do it as a church. We pray every day. And then we thought this year we would take the middle week. Usually it's the first one and none of you people come because we're getting back from the holidays. So this year we're taking the middle week and having in-person prayer. So this first week is the fast and pray. Then the middle week we'll be here every night, 6 to 7 o'clock. We'd love for you to come and join us. Every night that we would love to join as a kind of a directed hour of prayer that we would have together as a church. Kind of set the tenor for the year. We would set the goals. We would set the direction for our lives. So 21 days. And so we set up a website for you guys at victoryharvest.com/fasting. Because then I want to talk to you a little bit about what you're going to fast. All the different types. Because listen, there are different types. Because if you are new to fasting, you've never fasted before. And you get all enthused about this, and you're like, 21 days, Pastor, I'm with you. I'm not eating for 21 days. Listen to me, you will die. Come on, somebody. Like, you will. If I can just give you some pastoral advice, if you've never done this before, you have no idea what your doctor would say, you're just jumping in, 2 feet in, you don't eat for 21 days, you will die. And so I would just encourage you. Fasting has so many different ways. Oftentimes, food isn't even the greatest thing in your life that has control. I'll say it that way. I think sometimes in the modern church, we have taken food as the cop-out when we should be fasting other things. I told you it's the body and the soul that we're trying to silence. For some of you, the body has no control. You've disciplined that years ago, but the soul is out of control. And some of us need to discipline that thing that we always skip over and we cop out. We say, well, I'm just not eating Brussels sprouts. Come on, somebody. I'm just not eating Brussels sprouts. And something else has control of your life. And you're because listen to me. First, we silence the body. And so I don't know what that looks like for you. There's a lot of different ways that you can fast. We set up the website to kind of list all of them. I'm not going to do that now. But all the different ways. You could cut out something. You do like a Daniel fast. Cut out like meats and some sweets and some things. Maybe for some of you, you're like a chocolate fiend. Like that's your thing. And chocolate has control of your life. My daughter Hava, she loves chocolate. We don't even let her have that much chocolate. Which I think, as I say that, must add to like the allure of the cocoa bean, right? Like that just must be what sets it. So maybe for you, chocolate is the thing to give up. Some of you are like cursing me silently in your mind that I would even say that. Maybe it's coffee. Maybe it's meat. Whatever it is, you can give up that thing. Remember, whatever has control, this is getting the body and saying, okay, you're no longer in charge. Your body's saying, I want that piece of cake. You're like, you can't have that piece of cake. This is a chance to tell your body who's actually in charge. A chance to discipline. And then I would also encourage everybody, let's do the body fast. Let's pick something. I would encourage everybody, though, even if you do nothing to do with food, all of us to do some kind of a soul fast. Now, a soul fast is cutting out all those things that influence our mind, our will, and our emotions. Soul fast is cutting out, like, social media or the news. Come on, somebody. Or cutting out, like, I don't know, a certain type of movie or a certain streaming service or whatever it is. Whatever has control of your life. I don't know what that is. But chances are you're thinking about it right now, whatever it is. Cutting out those things, not allowing them to influence your life anymore. Not always living on social media or the news. Listen to me, you take 21 days and you like forget about that the world is going to end right now in Washington or the world is going to end right now because this happened. You come back after 21 days, I promise you, the same people are still yelling at the same people. The same problems are still the same problems. And I promise you the world will not end if you choose not to be consumed by it. And so let's get some things in our life that maybe we've let get out of control. Maybe we scrolled one too many million pages. Let's get some things back under discipline. Let's use the fast as a time to do that. So you find one of those things and you cut those things. And really the most important part is just cutting out the thing that has influenced you the most. The thing that set the soul or the body in charge of your life. But then don't just fast. Join us in prayer. Join us in praying every single day. Really and truly, join us in the middle week as we pray together next week, all in person. Join it. Make a change maybe in the schedule or whatever it is, and just make a point of being here, that we would join together. And each of the pastors leads a different night. It's an incredible time, just directed focus and worship as we set our year and we set what's actually important for us, that we spend time in God's presence. And here's what we're praying. It's out of Hosea 6. I wanted us to read this verse. It says the one thing, back in Hosea chapter 6, did I not have that one? Hosea 6, it says, let us return to the Lord and let us revive us. Let's return to the Lord and he will revive us. Like if we'll press into God, there's a reward for that. If we'll press into him that we can live in his presence, let's acknowledge the Lord, the Bible says. Let us press on and acknowledge him as surely as the sun will rise. He'll appear and he'll come as the winter rains and the spring rains that water the earth. That's our prayer for this time. I'm inviting you to take this journey with us, these 21 days. I know it may take you a couple of days to figure out what it is. It may take you a couple of days to put that into practice. But I encourage you, even if it takes you a week to figure these things out, join us for the fasting and the prayer. Make this a discipline in your life. I promise you, I'm believing God to change our world, to change our church, to change our city, our country, our world. Honestly, your personal spiritual life. I'm believing God for incredible things to happen in this year. But it starts with getting our focus right. Listen, we ended last year, 2024, talking about faith, talking about how the things God has called us to are always possible. And then I think we're kicking off 2025 focused on those things. That's why we're calling it faith and focus. Focused on the things that actually matter. And I was thinking on how to simplify this in the few minutes we have before we go. Because I promise you, if I get up here and I give you 18 different things to focus on, you will smile at me because you are church people. You will smile and you will go to lunch this afternoon and you will do none of them. Come on, somebody. Like I am a realist in this world. If I give you 18 different directions to go, we will go in none of them. And so I thought, how could I boil this down? Like one thing we could focus on. One thing maybe that you need to change in your life for 2025. One thing. And so I took it back. I found some heroes of the faith, some giants of the faith who each boiled it down to one thing. And I promise you, I'm going to give you four of them. I promise you it will not be the same for everybody. But maybe you'll find your one thing this morning. Something to focus on for 2025. Something maybe that got a little bit out of line. And these 21 days says, I'm going to focus on that thing. I'm going to get some things back in order. One thing that you would focus on. Because I promise you, it won't be the same. Everybody is different. But I also promise you, one of these will be yours. I can say that in full assurance. One of these is something we need to focus on. And so maybe find which one for you. The first one, Psalms 27, this is King David. King David said, there's one thing that I ask. So one thing that I boiled it down to of the Lord, the thing I seek most is to live in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. Maybe for some of you, this is the year you're finally going to focus. You're going to prioritize. You're going to prioritize the spiritual. David said, there's a lot of great things I can do with my life. A lot of great ways that I can do, but I'm going to prioritize the thing that's most important is that I would be in God's house. And honestly, as a pastor, it would be important in your life. You would prioritize the spiritual, that God would be at the center of your life. But also just in general, that we would spend energy, we would focus energy on prioritizing the spiritual, on being in the Word, on spending time in prayer, that we would prioritize that. That we would do it with our family. We would do it in our own personal time. We would prioritize the spiritual in our life. Because listen, the devil would love to have you fill your schedule with 1,000 things that aren't necessarily sinful. I think that's the distinction. I'm not saying those are sin. I'm just saying oftentimes they fill your schedule and keep you from the legacy God has called you to leave. Like the things in and of themselves, there's nothing wrong with them. But when we choose 1,000 over them, over what God has called us to do, then we're out of balance. And so for some of us this year, the one thing is just to prioritize, to get some things back in the order they're actually supposed to be in. Next thing, Philippians chapter 3, the Apostle Paul, he said, no, dear brothers and sisters, I've not achieved it, but I focus on this one thing, forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead. I press on to reach the end of the race, receive the heavenly prize for which God through Christ Jesus is calling us. Paul said, brother and sister, I haven't gotten it yet, but here's the one thing I do, forgetting the past and pressing forward. Some of you this year, this is a chance. Some of you this year, your one thing is to simply let go, to let go of the past. Some of you have been living in the past for 50 years, and it shows in every area that you try to do for the Lord. Sometimes we have to let go of the past. You know, your past only has power over your future if you let it. We let go of some of the mistakes of our past, some of the things that we walk through. You know, you are a new creation in Christ. The Bible says the old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. You are a new creation. That at that moment of salvation, God is creating something new inside of you. But too often times we give power to the past and we let it affect our everyday lives. We give power to the mistakes and we give power to the things that God already washed us clean of, but we let them come in and influence our lives today. Listen, you let go this year. Some of you, this is your one thing, to let go of the past. Paul said, I'm not being defined by that. I'm not letting it affect. I'm letting go, forgetting what's in the past and pressing forward. Listen, you know, we serve a God who invented the new beginning. The Bible says his mercies are new every morning. That great is his faithfulness. Some of you, you need to let go. You need to be not be defined by the things that happened in 2024 or 23 or 22. You need to push forward and focus on letting go. Stop letting your life be marked by the people that walked out on you or the people that betrayed you or the mistakes that you made. Because you don't have to be defined by your past. Paul says, forgetting what's behind me. I think sometimes what we forget so often, I was reading that verse again this weekend, we forget that Paul left a lot of mistakes in the past, but he also left a lot of successes. One of my favorite quotes from Michael Jordan is, success is only success at the moment you perform something successful. I think too often times we rest on our laurels and we let that affect. Sometimes Paul say, I'm letting go, I'm forgetting, I'm treating as nothing the things in the past, the mistakes and the successes. Because too often times we rest. Now listen to me. I think it's amazing to have spiritual legacy and to have spiritual breakthroughs and victories that we can build on. I think that's incredible. But the people that we reached last year, it's amazing. We thank God. Praise God for lives that are changed. Praise God for people who are saved. Praise God for spiritual victories in the kingdom of God advancing. But the people standing right in front of us don't care how many people we saved last year. Just like throw me the life raft. The people you're witnessing this year don't care you got 50 people saved. They're just like, hey, I need to hear about the love and the faith and the hope that I have in Christ Jesus. Too often times we will rest, and I need to tread this lightly, because listen to me, praise God for spiritual victories. Praise God for spiritual legacy. Praise God for changed lives, but we have to be in the moment. We have to build God's kingdom this year. We have to get on our face and fast and pray for this year. It doesn't matter if we fasted and prayed the last 10 years. We got to pray for God to move in this moment. We are called for such a time as this. There are things God has called us to. We got to put our hand to the plow and not remember all those things and keep us from doing what God has called us to do. Too often times we let him get in the way. Too often times we need to focus on letting go. If whoever you thought defined you, whether the mistakes or the successes, Paul is like, I'm letting go. I'm leaving it all behind. I'm pressing forward to what God has for me. And then I love this story, Luke chapter 10, right? King David's prioritizing. Apostle Paul's letting go. And then in this one, Jesus is speaking. This is Mary and Martha. Jesus shows up at their house, right? Martha is like making all the food. And Martha's like in the kitchen. And Martha is like, dude, because somebody's got to cook the food, right? You ever read this story and be like, somebody has to cook the food. You ever be on Martha's side? Like most of us would be like, somebody's got to clean the dishes. Somebody's got to prep the thing. Jesus is coming, Mary. Jesus. And Mary's like nowhere to be found. And Martha's like, somebody's got to do this. And Jesus addresses it. And you're like, yeah, Jesus is about to give Mary a piece of his mind. Like, go help Martha. What? Martha's doing all the work. Go help. This is what Jesus said. There's only one thing worth being concerned about. I bet up until that point, Martha's like, yeah. Yeah, Jesus is going to let out one thing, preparing for Jesus. That's the one thing. One thing to be concerned about, making sure it's good for the master. Making sure we wiped everything down. Making sure this thing is spick and span, best food, everything. One thing, listen to it, Mary. There's only one thing worth being concerned about. And Mary has discovered it. I don't know, that speaks to me more than any of you, but it speaks. Mary has discovered it, and it won't be taken from her. One thing, because you know what Mary was doing? Spending time in the presence of Jesus. Listen, it might not be your one. Maybe you got your life prioritized. You're good there. Maybe you're not like Paul. Maybe you've let go of the past. You're like, I'm pushing forward to the future. Listen, maybe your one thing is like Mary. Maybe your one thing is just to be present. Maybe your one thing is just to slow down. Because listen to me, Mary was in the presence of Jesus. And Jesus said, it's not going to be taken from her. Mary's spending time with him. You know what I think one of the greatest sicknesses of our modern culture is? Is we are never in the moment. We're never present in the moment. We don't live like in the moment, like today is Sunday. Our kids are home and they're talking to us about their successes or their fears or the things they're working through or whatever it is happening in their life. Or they just want to spend time, but we're too busy because we're checking the sports score or we're scrolling Instagram or we're loading up the dishwasher or we're doing whatever it is that we do because that needs to be done. You know what Jesus is saying? He's saying, yeah, all those things have a place, but you know what's most important? Because all those things will have their time. There will be time for that later. But I think too often times our sickness is we're never present in the actual moment. And there are times we're supposed to focus on the presence of God. And we miss it because we're not focused. Like right now is a time where God may be speaking to you. I don't know what part of this service, maybe in worship, maybe through the testimonies, maybe through whatever it is, God is speaking to you. Maybe it was point one and you're not listening to me the rest of the day. Maybe you're focused on it. God is saying something to you about your life and about your focus. But we're too busy thinking, okay, what comes next? How do I kind of set up my week? What am I doing this afternoon? Who's coming over? Where are we eating? What's this thing? Too often times we rush past the moment and God is saying, no. I'm speaking. Bible says, be still and know that I am God, Scripture says. And I think for some of us, we just have to slow down. We need to slow down. Don't fall for the lie. That man, you just got to hustle and you just got to keep moving, just keep pushing, keep running, just keep going, just keep loading up the schedule, just keep doing everything society expects you, just keep doing. It's just a season. Just keep pushing for the season. It's just, you'll reach a place where you can rest, but it's not now. Don't fall for the lie, because listen to me, you will wake up in 30 years and you will realize that was your life and you missed what God had for you to do. And you never had the revelation from the Lord, and you never had the moment that you craved, and you never had the difference that you wanted to make. You never had the relationship that you wanted to build, and you missed it all because you fell for the lie that you couldn't slow down. It was just a moment. And you realize after it's over that that was what God was calling you. That was the moment. That was the season to make the difference. Listen to me. It's a brand new year. It's a chance to focus. I don't know what your one thing is, but maybe it is just to slow down, to realize that God is speaking. To realize what it is that God has for your life. Maybe that's your one thing. Mark chapter 10, here's the last one. A man comes to Jesus. We call him the rich young ruler. This guy has his riches and he has all his things, but he comes to Jesus. And I think we call him the rich young ruler. But honestly, this is probably like the most religiously devout man that Jesus comes across. Because the Bible says he crossed all the T's. He dotted all the I's religiously. He did everything that he was supposed to do, that in his mind, he did everything. And he comes to Jesus. And he comes to Jesus in this moment, and he's like, Master, what else can I do? And Jesus looks at him, and the Bible says, has genuine love for him. He sees this guy who's trying so hard, and he's done everything. Maybe you have the first three under control. And maybe this fourth one, you're like, hey, I've done all those things because I've crossed all the T's and dotted all the I's. One, two, and three, Pastor. Those are fine in my life. Those aren't my one thing. Maybe you're like this man. You're coming to Jesus. I did all those three things. What else could there be? Jesus looks at him and he loves him. And he says, there's still one thing that you haven't done, he said. Go and sell all your possessions and give the money to the poor. And you'll have treasure in heaven. Sell all your possessions. Give the money to the poor. Why? Not because this guy had stuff, because this guy's stuff had him. This guy's stuff had control of his life, and Jesus sees this. Genuine love for this guy. He knows he has all the religious things in order, but he looks at him and he says, no, your stuff has such a hold. There's only one thing left for you to do. This one thing. You did all the other religious things, but listen to me. This one thing has control of your life. Sell it all, give it to the poor, and you'll have treasure in heaven. Then come and follow me. See, this young man had never truly surrendered. He had the list and he checked them all off. But he never actually surrendered. Maybe it's time for you to give up that thing in your life that you said, God, I'll follow you as long as I can hold on to this. Some of you are like, well, I'm not rich. So that can't be my thing. Maybe that's not the thing that has control. But whatever it is, you need to surrender it. Whatever it is, you need to surrender it. Listen to me. He's either Lord of all or he's not Lord at all. God will never take second place. And so you have these things that we built up that we say, Lord, I'll follow you, but I need to bring this along. Or God, I'll follow you and I've got my bags packed because this suitcase has to go. Whatever it is. Maybe it's time to fully surrender. Maybe you got the first three in order. Maybe you got every checkbox checked. You're like this man. You're like, what more, Lord? And God is pointing out that one thing that you need to surrender. What's your one thing this year? It's like King David, you're going to prioritize the spiritual. Or maybe like the Apostle Paul, you got to forget and let go of the past. Or maybe like Martha, we need to just slow down and be in the moment. Spend time in the presence of God. I would suspect most of us, even if we had one of the first three, most of us fall in that fourth category. Maybe it's time to surrender. And here's my prayer for you as we close. It's out of Ephesians. It said that God would give you spiritual wisdom and insight. It's what I pray for you every 21 days. That God would give us spiritual wisdom and insight. You might grow in your knowledge of God. That we would live lives that are focused and clear, knowing what God has called us to do. Knowing where he's placed us, knowing the time that we're called up, time like this, that God has a plan and a purpose for us, that we would stay focused, doing all that he's called us to do. Bow your heads with me as we pray today. I want to pray, God, give us a focus for this new year. Because listen, I know some of you have some big decisions and you have some hurdles and some mountains to climb and you have all those things that need to happen. I understand that. I understand that you have all these things, but I just pray that God would give us clarity of focus. To come back to what matters most. That we would realize what our one thing is and we would go after it with every part of our being. Before I pray that though, there are some of you and you're here today and you think it's for a reason. So you think like, okay, I'm trying to figure out some answers to life. And so new year, new me, I'm going to show up in church. Maybe I'll find out the meaning to life. Or I'll find out the answers to the questions. Or I'll figure out what it is I'm supposed to be doing. I don't know what reason you came, but probably you had one. But hear me clearly. There is no meaning to life apart from Jesus. There is no purpose to life apart from Jesus. And listen to me when I tell you this. You are sitting in a room full of people who have found that to be true. I promise you in this room, there are people who have gone further than you have, who have sought harder than you have, who asked 1,000 more questions than you ever have, looking for the meaning. And every single one of them have realized there's no meaning apart from Jesus. There's no hope apart from Jesus. That he is the answer to the questions that you're asking. And so if you're here today, I promise you, your one thing is simply to surrender to him. It's not a sin to search. It's not a sin to have questions. I don't know if anybody's ever turned you away because they said, well, you asked one too many, or you looked a little too hard, or you just never really did. You just did. It's not a sin to search. I promise you that God is big enough to answer your questions. And I can't think of a better Sunday than the first one of the year to set some things in order in your life. But it all starts with surrender to him. It all starts and ends with Jesus. And so right now as a church, we would love to pray with you. If you say, that's me, I've been looking and I've been searching, but I know today is my time to surrender. It would be our honor to pray with you a prayer of surrender. Maybe some of you knew him at one point. And all the cares of life, all the things that you thought were so important have kind of choked that out. And you are as far from God as you've ever been. Or maybe you ran even further than you ever were. I promise you today is a time of new beginnings. It's a chance for you to set some things back in order. It'd be our honor to pray with you. And then for some of you, you've kind of gone through those things and you said, okay, yeah, my one thing is just to surrender. We're going to pray a prayer of surrender right now. So all of us as a church, I'm not looking for you to raise your hand. I'm not trying to make you come to me. I'm not looking to embarrass you in front of whoever it is you came with. I'm not looking to build my ego because half of you raise your hand. Right now is between you and God. Right now is for you to make a decision. So right in this moment, church, let's pray with them. Pray this with me. Nobody prays alone. Say these words. Say, Jesus, forgive me of all my sin, all my mistakes. I believe you died on the cross. I believe you rose again. And I make you Lord of my life. In Jesus' name. Now, Father, I pray you would touch every one of us that is here today. We thank you, God, for the gift of a brand new year. We thank you, Lord, that we can make every moment count. We thank you, Father, that you have called us to focus. You have called us to follow you. And so, Lord, as we start 2025, we declare it will be a year we prioritize the spiritual. We declare it'll be a year we let go of the past. We press forward into what you have for us. Lord, we declare it's a year that we will be still and know that you are God. And Lord, we declare it the year of surrender. That you are the one that we follow. Not a religion. Lord, not anything that's self-focused or self-absorbed. But we live this life for you. We pray it in Jesus' name. And all God's church said amen and amen. Come on, can we give God praise for what he's done today?